This is where the DJ talks. Don't say anything.
Okay.
Each of these media creates a new environment. It creates a new situation for human association and human perception. Any medium at all creates a new pattern, a new atmosphere, a new environment of human perception, which works upon the whole man. It works upon the whole society. That is the effect of a medium. It has that total pervasive effect. That is the message that social change that is brought about. The content of the medium is never the message, because the content is always the old medium.
From the vast wilds of the Great White North, for the week of April the 28th, 2015, it's TVA, a Canadian perspective on television from north and south of the 49th parallel. I'm Anthony Marco.
And I'm Diane Wild.
And I'm Greg David.
And we would like you to put your television on mute for episode 181 of TVA, the podcast. You know what? We're setting ourselves up already, guys, because we know the summer doldrum. We're at that point between a lot of news for the fall and the news wrapping up for the spring. We're in that kind of two to 4 weeks where it seems like there's not a lot of news out there.
Yeah. Yeah.
Thankfully, there's a couple award shows that we'll talk about, or a couple awards that are coming up, and one that happened already and one that's coming up, but we'll get to that later. But there's not a lot happening right now because, I mean, seasons are wrapping up, and I guess we may be talking soon about some summer fill-in shows and stuff like that, but...
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, thank God for Orphan Black and Remedy, because they're really the only things on right now.
Yeah, and then Rookie Blue right around the corner. But yeah, it's you know, the Canadian networks are starting to get their, you know, it'll be U.S. upfronts, and all the networks will be making their decisions about the American shows. So they're, you know, I don't really see a lot of Canadian news on the horizon, although at the end of May is when CBC is going to do their upfront. So we'll find out their schedule going forward. But yeah, it's kind of weird. I'm seeing this calendar kind of drop off and all the pretty colors are going away, and it's making me a little bit sad.
Aww.
I might have to go and do a shift at Starbucks or something.
The one thing I'd like you guys to talk about, because which one of you can talk about it anyway, or you can both talk about it, is it seems like the TVA website is doing some heavy duty coverage on Orphan Black on a weekly basis.
Yeah, I mean, that was one of the mandates, is that if it's a show like Orphan Black that gets a lot of coverage, you know, we want to cover it on this website. And I've got Chris Jankelowitz, who used to write for Huffington Post. He is going to be covering it every week for us, which is great because he knows a lot more about Orphan Black than I do and can go more into detail and the minutia, because there's a lot of stuff to cover on that show. There are a lot of storylines. Tatiana Maslany plays so many characters, and now Ari Millen is playing a bunch of characters as well. So there's always, you know, there's subtext and, you know, way too much for my little brain to handle. So
sorry, you mean new dad Ari Millen?
New dad Ari Millen. Did you see the press release that went out about that?
Yes.
Oh, yes.
Oh, I don't know if we needed that press release, but it's congratulations.
I don't think we did, actually.
No, I don't think we did. But yeah, it's new dad Ari Millen. So yeah, we're thrilled to have Chris on board, because like I said, he can go into detail that I simply can't. And Diane, it's probably the case with you as well, right?
Yeah, I mean, to tell the truth, I get, you know, I really like the show, but I think it's a failing of it that sometimes the plot gets very convoluted. And that's partly my viewing style, too. But I tend to, it's not one of those shows that I need to, like, avidly watch. I can be multitasking while watching it, which means I miss half the stuff. So Chris gave actually a really good, I'm trying to find it now as we talk, but Chris gave a really good summary of, you know, happening on the show in his first review. And it got tweeted out by somebody, too, because they just thought it was priced. I mean, it's like, okay, so here's what you have to know. It's like, there's these guys and these guys and these guys, and they're trying to kill these guys. That's all you need to know.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah, the Lita clones are being hunted by the Caster clones. The end.
Well, I think what you need the tweetable summary every week.
You do.
Yeah. If you can summarize the episode in a tweet.
Yeah. So this is what he says. The bottom line is this. Rachel Topside, Dyad, and Project Caster are out to destroy the Project Lita clones, and the sisters have to band together in order to stop them. There. Easy, isn't it? But, you know, the machinations and all of that, I don't even want to follow it. So it's really good to have Chris on board to help us through that. This is not a show that I would really want to recap.
Well, that's good. And it's a good breakdown for fans like us who come to the website and don't want to necessarily go searching through the 150 different fan pages, because they're all out there. I mean, if you're really, really hardcore, you're going to be searching through all those fan pages. But, I mean, you might just want to see a breakdown. Like, for instance, there's, you know, oftentimes for American shows when, what is it, the AV Club in the States does some of the breakdowns of episodes. Those are really cool.
Yeah, the AV Club has, I think, become sort of the go-to site for that kind of thing. I mean, they do really detailed analysis. So, yeah, I think, you know, there's not that many shows that I really want to put that much effort into.
It's like whenever the AV Club says something along the lines of, you know, what did you miss because you really weren't paying attention to this episode of this show? It's like, oh, yeah, I should read that because I really was playing Candy Crush while I was watching it.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So I think it's time for the beverage update. Before we get into our limited links for the week, Diane, you weren't sure whether we were recording tonight, but does that
and
mean...
And yet, no, and it, because the whole point of the beverage update was I always had all these multiple beverages on the go. So, you know, I had a few on the go, and then I poured myself a glass of wine because, you know, they gave me all this wine, so I'm supposed to talk about on the podcast
the
now.
The continued wine, yes.
So what I had before...
No one has sent me bourbon yet, by the way, just confirming, nobody has sent me bourbon.
Well, we'll have to see what we can do about that.
Yes.
Probably nothing, but so I do have a rooibos that's kind of half gone. It's called Green and Fruity.
Okay.
Which
I'm just going to leave that alone.
Yes, kind of sounds like the Great Gazoo.
And unfortunately, because I was kind of rushing to get here, I didn't like pick up what is exactly in Green and Fruity, but I would imagine some fruits and possibly some green things.
Yes, and some green
kale.
It's not easy being green and fruity.
And then I have one of my beautiful sparkling waters, and this time it's got real lemon in it, like squeezed lemon into it, and it's quite tasty, though it's quite sour.
So you've actually squeezed lemon into it?
Yes, I actually like have a lemon, and I cut it in half, and
she has somebody that does that for her.
Well, because I was trying to think, it's like, well, how do you know it's real squeezed lemon in it unless you actually did it?
She saw the person do it.
Yes, my manservant did it for me.
It's like, oh, James.
And then the wine I poured from the, and I have to admit, you're supposed to like drink the wine with the chips. It's Miss Vicky's chips, and you're supposed to be pairing it up with the special wine.
Yeah.
I abandoned that after the first week because honestly, chips and wine do not go together. I'm sorry. It ruins a good glass of wine when you have all that salt.
Well, so you're supposed to eat the bag of chips like and not take a drink and then just wash
just
it down with wine.
Down. Yeah.
Remember Team? Remember Team, the soda from the U.S.?
No.
They used to have big commercials in the 70s. Their big ad buy was, you know, a guy would be walking through the desert. He'd crawl through the desert. He'd get to the end of it, and you'd expect him to ask for, you know, water or something like that. And instead, he asked for a bag of potato chips. And he eats the bag of potato chips, and then he reaches for the Team Pop. It's like, when you built yourself up a thirst, blow it away with Team. And it was T-E-E-M. And that was the idea.
Sounds like a good commercial.
Every commercial was about, like, how far can you take your thirst before you get a bottle of Team and blow it away.
Wow.
Yeah.
I know why I haven't heard of that. So anyway, the wine
I'm so old. I am so old.
I think we're the same age, actually, but you just watch more TV than I did while you were inventing shows like the Frankenstein one.
Yeah, inventing Frankenstein, yeah. Just wait until the Frightenstein fan club comes down.
I don't know why I persist in continuing that joke on Twitter, because then people are like, no, it really exists. Let me show you. And I'm like, no, I know. I'm just kind of bugging Anthony, but never mind. But anyway, the wine is a Pinot Grigio, and it's that Robert Mondavi wine. And it's good. I'm more of a red wine drinker.
Or as I like to call it, a Pinot Grigio.
Yes, it's a Pinot Grigio, and it's quite tart. It's, you know, it's not my preferred kind of wine, but it's quite tasty.
So, Greg, you got to live up to that, buddy.
Yeah, mine's short and sweet. I'm drinking room temperature Perrier Lime.
Oh, well, at least it's Perrier.
And nobody squeezed the lime into it. It was already in the bottle.
Diane can loan you a manservant if you'd like.
Yes, my manservant can help you with that.
Yeah, so that's it. That's all I've got. We're actually in the middle of painting our kitchen, so I have limited access to drinks.
I'm very pleased to say I found a new bourbon at the liquor store this week.
Oh, I saw the picture.
Yes.
You're not drinking it, are you?
I am.
Oh, wow.
I know.
Have you ever had a bourbon?
I think I've had a couple times, but I was excited because I found this new bottle and I wasn't expecting to find it. Like, normally there's actually an app for the liquor store in Ontario and you can search bourbon and you can actually see if I will actually search bourbon and see, look, this there's a bottle of this. There's a bottle of this in Oakville. If I drive right now, I can get it.
Seriously?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We've got an app too, but I don't do that.
Yeah. Well, you should learn. Anyway, one of my favorite mid-range bourbons is called 1792, and it's from Barton Distilleries. And I actually visited the distillery last summer. Myself and Shane Burley went down and visited. And they only make a couple of different labels, 1792, and they make another one called Very Old Barton. But those are the only two ones they regularly make. But now they've come up with 1792 Small Batch, which I'm quite happy with. And it's not that expensive, actually. It's a very nice-looking bottle. It's pretty fancy-looking. And it's for a small batch that's kind of quasi-premium. It's not a bad price. So there were two bottles left at the LCBO that I walked into, and I bought both of them.
Nice.
One to drink, one to put in the cabinet.
There you go.
And drink some other time. That's the way I roll. So we're going to be going to the calendar to start things off. And as we said earlier, the calendar is pretty sparse.
Yeah,
the calendar is looking like the tundra.
The cupboards are beginning to go bare. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, we've got the regulars. We've got Orphan Black, which we already talked about. Big Brother Canada is still chugging along. And there was some controversy. Did you see it, Anthony, on the live feed? What happened?
Should I say yes?
Big Brother Canada, is that what you're talking about?
You were the one that was all excited about the live feed.
I'm excited. No, here's
like he's watching it.
Yeah, that's right. Like, so I no, here's the thing about the live feed. So Slice is still doing the live feeds, right? Like the overnight live feeds or whatever they are.
Okay.
Are they?
I don't know. Yeah, I think they are.
But they did last year anyway. So, like, you know, between the hours of like 2 a.m. and 6 a.m., you can watch like four straight hours of the Big Brother house, like just cameras that are set up.
Yeah.
And like when Big Brother in the U.S. first came on, I actually went to, like, there was a couple summers where I was pretty kind of into it, and I would go and find like the backdoor links into the real video streams.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, of the Big Brother house. And you could actually watch all four streams at the same time. There are four different streams. But it's with a station like Slice, why the hell not? It's new content. It's on at 2 a.m. in the morning. Why the heck not? You know, I mean, who else? What are you going to be showing in there? Reruns of the Andy Griffith Show? I have no idea. So you might as well be showing that. At least it's new content.
That's prime Floby time.
Floby.
Oh.
Wow. She pulls out the Floby.
And that PCX or that whatever that high-impact workout stuff is. It makes me tired when I watch it. So there was controversy in the house this week because one of the contestants was comparing being in the house with another game player as worse than the Holocaust. So that grabbed some headlines.
Of course. The first person that goes to Hitler loses the argument.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
And apparently she persisted after the other housemate was trying to argue her down from that. Like,
yes.
Like, no, you don't want to go there.
Yeah.
No, she was saying things like, you know, he's worse to me than Hitler was to the Jews.
Like, oh, yeah.
No, not really. Please stop talking.
Yeah, yeah. So that's been going on there. We've got Remedy plugging along as well. But yeah, like you already said, without Orphan Black, it would be pretty quiet. And next month, looking ahead, we're all looking at May the 21st because that's when Rookie Blue comes back for season 6.
Well, we're not all looking at that.
Should I have said that in quotes?
Yes.
Many of us.
In Anthony's press release voice.
Yes.
There's a space for us all.
A space for... Is it a place for us all or a space for us all?
I can't remember.
A space.
Okay. A space for us all. Now that sounds science fiction-y.
It does.
A space for us all.
Which makes it sound better.
Now I have to feel like... I feel like I need to check this out because now I'm not sure.
Uh-oh. We've trapped Greg in a logic loop. We don't have to play the Jeopardy theme. I think he can go and find it. Anyway, we can move on, and you can let us know when you found it.
By the way,
we should mention, I believe we have, I just checked the other night, we have a new patron.
Oh, right. We do.
Yes.
It's one of your buddies.
Yeah, one of my podcast friends, Dave Broadbeck, has been listening to the past several episodes. He really likes the ones, I think, that we've been doing with some of the personalities, the ABC's podcast. He started listening and decided that he was going to become a patron of the show.
What are we, Chopped Liver, Bob?
Or Dave?
Oh, sorry, Dave. Oh, my God.
Apparently you are a Chopped
Liver.
Wow,
apparently
and there,
I am.
And
yeah.
There goes the $5 you just...
Yeah,
yeah,
sorry. That, yeah, okay.
Okay. Well,
it's much better than me. Yeah. Never mind.
So Dave, please ignore Diane, and yes. Thank you for becoming a patron on our Patreon page. If you go to Patreon,
I gave him a big shout out on Twitter though, because I knew he co-hosts best episode ever. So
yes, that's cool.
She called him Bob, but still.
Yeah, that's true.
I'm thinking, oh God, did I? I hope not.
So patreon.com/TV_EH, and if you want to contribute. Because you feel like this podcast is worth it once a week, even if Diane won't say your name right, you can contribute to this podcast. It just basically helps keep the lights on, folks. That's all. You know, hydro is going to be going up in Ontario soon. It helps to keep the lights on. So please check that out. So we do have awards that just happened, and I only know because through this podcast I follow a bunch of people who. We're tweeting such things. And so the WGC Awards, the Writers Guild of Canada Awards, happened, was it last night or the night before?
Yeah, last night.
Last night. And so a couple of... Now, they give... is it... So it's strictly film that they were focusing on, or was it other
no,
stuff
no,
too?
No, just... Yeah, TV...
It's the Writers Guild.
Sorry, strictly TV. That's what I was asked. That's what I meant to ask. Yeah.
I don't think there is a feature film category, is there?
Okay.
No.
So yeah, I think it is TV, but they do documentary and right. That kind of thing as well, and children's. The ones people mostly care about is Orphan Black won for a script in the drama category, and Mr. D won for the script in comedy category.
Right.
There's, of course, other ones. I, for some reason, don't have it open, so Greg might want to jump in.
Yeah, Fangbone won for animation, and R.L. Stine's The Haunting Hour won for children and youth. The Cholesterol Question, which I think was a Nature of Things documentary, for the documentary category. Elephant Song for movie and miniseries, and Out with Dad for shorts and web series. And then there were three special awards given out. Bruce Smith from 19-2 was given the Showrunner Award. Allison Lee Bingman, I hope I'm pronouncing her name right, she won the Sandra Kelly Award. And Dennis McGrath, who's also a patron, and he's been writing on Continuum and X Company and loads of other shows, he won the Writer's Block Award.
I like to consider that award for Dennis to be Patreon karma.
Yeah. Yes. So
if you come and contribute to our Patreon, you will win an award.
It's for service to screenwriters.
It's science. It's science, folks.
It's science. Yeah.
You can't argue with it. It's science.
Now I don't know. I was supposed to go, but it turned out that I couldn't go. I was going to the hot dog screening of a Monty Python documentary last night. But I did see a picture of Dennis, and it looked like they were giving him a bottle of writer's tears as part of the which is awesome.
Yeah,
that's funny.
I almost thought you were going to see the hot dog movie. That
no, oh, I have seen that.
Yeah, that was one of my favorite films of the 80s.
13 years old.
I don't
just
know
discovering
that.
Myself.
Sunny side up, sunny side down, and sunny side all around.
I think I don't want to know.
You don't want to know. Trust me, you don't want to know. Two people who listen, I don't know who they are, but two people who listen to this podcast just went, oh my God, I forgot about that film.
So I always feel like the Writers Guild don't know how to do an awards ceremony right, because it's over like in half an hour, because they have...
Hey,
know,
that's tight writing, Diane.
They have a handful of awards and it's bang, bang, bang. It's like, wait, you didn't pad this out. There's no like, you know, ludicrous awards and, you know, endless speeches and stuff. So they have their own little ceremony. It's obviously not televised. I shouldn't say obviously, but it's Canada. It's not televised.
they could put it on Slice.
Which is actually a shame because this is the second year in a row that they've had it at Kerner Hall in Toronto, and it's actually a beautiful hall, and everybody dresses up nice, and there's lots of booze too. So
and Ryan Melville hosts it, and he's a stand-up comedian. Like, and yep. it's apparently very funny. I mean, I suspect they would have to rewrite if it was going to, you know, go public, because I think there's probably a lot of insider baseball and that kind of stuff. But
Bravo should broadcast it.
I do wish they would. Bravo doesn't do that anymore. I mean, isn't Bravo running things about, I don't know.
Bravo. I don't even know what Bravo's mandate is these days. It's like, you know, arts, culture, and fishing. I have no idea.
But anyway, yeah, I do kind of wish they would televise it. I'm joking about they don't know how to do an award ceremony right. It's just, it's not.
No, I think they know exactly how to do it right. This is like, if it was on TV and it was half an hour, I would watch it.
Absolutely.
Well, exactly. Yeah, exactly. I mean,
it would be the best award show ever.
Yep.
I'm being sarcastic that they don't know how to do it right. I mean, as in everybody else is doing it wrong because it's so bloated.
It's like, I don't know what the musical numbers were.
Explain that is
really I don't know what the musical numbers were. I have no idea, but all I'm saying is. But I mean, it's yeah, good. Sounds awesome. And Ryan Belleville's been on the podcast before too.
Right.
See,
yeah.
It's
everyone more... be on the podcast, and the Writers Guild will somehow anoint you something.
Exactly. But if you become a patron, you win awards. That's what it comes down to.
Exactly.
So we have another set of awards, the Golden Maple Awards. I have no idea what these are.
This is the first year for them.
Yes, this is the first year for them, and it's from the Academy of Canadians in Sports and Entertainment, Los Angeles.
What?
Yes.
These are the most embarrassing awards to me.
So is the Academy of Canadian in Sports and Entertainment a U.S.-based group? Or is it a Canadian group?
It's for expats in L.A., basically.
Yes. And then the nominees are all Canadian talent in TV series broadcast in the U.S. between July the 1st, 2014 and July the 1st, 2015. And they're designed, Anthony, to celebrate Canadian talent in the U.S. And they're going to be held on Canada Day at a venue to be announced.
Ooh, I've heard venue to be announced is a classy joint.
Yes.
But how? They're
going to have it in someone's backyard. They're just not sure whose yet.
So they've nominated the people already.
Yeah.
And the eligibility year goes until July 1st, 2015.
Yeah.
Yes. Your
point?
Do we
see a problem with that?
No. We're Canadian, Diane.
I mean, I get the July 1st thing, but that makes no sense to me. I don't know if this is all the winner or all the nominees or if they have other categories to come.
So it is. It's
which would seem even weirder.
So it's such a weird. So best actor in a TV series broadcasted in the U.S.
Broadcast.
No.
Do we need like past tense at the end of broadcast there?
No, we don't really. But we also don't need these awards. I mean, we're celebrating Canadians who left Canada.
Diane, we want to talk about it first, then you can say we don't want.
Okay. Well, my segue is we don't need the ED and we don't need the awards.
Wow.
Sorry. Go on.
It's okay. I don't know what there is to talk about, to be honest with you.
There's nothing wrong with the nominees. Yeah. I mean, good for you, but for one thing, Bitten, I mean, okay, that's our show too. So is Vikings. So is Haven, like Book of Negroes.
But so
it's, you know,
yeah, but so I'm looking at some of the shows. So it's strictly just Canadians, not necessarily on a Canadian show.
No.
But
no.
it could be a Canadian on a U.S. show.
It's Canadians who have left us for greener pastures.
Yes. Like, so Amanda Crew, who's on Silicon Valley on HBO, which is a fantastic show, by the way. It's so awesome.
I like that show too, yeah.
Oh, it's an awesome show. But that's completely not a Canadian show.
No.
But so you have a Canadian on there, yeah.
But yeah, I mean, so fine, that's all great. Except, I mean, what does it even mean? Like, why do we need these awards? Half of these shows are eligible for Canadian Screen Awards anyway.
Diane, to be
fair.
They're
all eligible for Emmy Awards.
To be fair,
Diane.
We have
to celebrate that they're Canadians.
Why do we need any awards?
Well, we don't, but we particularly don't need these ones. This is like, I find it kind of insulting. They're being rewarded for being Canadian, basically.
On the grand continuum of award shows, this ranks pretty low for Diane Wilde.
And I am the awards advocate of at least the two of us, I don't know about Greg on this, but I'm the one who watched, I'm the one who got an antenna so I could watch the Oscars. Like, I like award shows.
I want to know what the trophy is. Is it a maple leaf? Is it a waffle?
I'm going to guess
maple syrup, it's a maple. On it? Is it a bottle of maple syrup?
Maple.
Maybe it's a bottle of maple syrup.
It could be.
That would be fitting, really.
Maybe they're going to have the awards at an IHOP, and then that would make sense.
I just find this embarrassing.
So here's the other thing. This is interesting. So Brooke Wexler is the newcomer of the year category for Richie Rich on Netflix.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So,
which is not really broadcast.
Yeah. In fact, it's not at all broadcast. Now, I understand if we want to throw it into the mix, so to speak, but really?
Maybe we're scraping the barrel of Canadians on shows in the U.S.
I don't think so, because I think there are plenty. This really seems to be. This
very
really,
narrow, isn't it?
It's very narrow. And, you know, it's also, they don't have a writing category. I mean, Hart Hansen and David Shore could duke it out.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, that's what I was saying. Now, are these all of the nominees?
I don't know if there's more coming, but that would be a really weird thing to do.
So the nomination committee for the Golden Maple Awards was composed of the Academy of Canadians in Sports and Entertainment, LA members, and all members of the Academy will be voting to elect the winners. It could just be that those people we mentioned, the bigger names, aren't members of the Academy of Canadians in Sports and Entertainment.
I don't know that you have to be a member to be nominated. You have to be a member to vote.
Well, it says that's true. But, like, there are plenty of Canadians who are on U.S. shows or shows that are broadcast in the U.S. that aren't included in this list, and much, you know, bigger name people as well, I would think. You know, I can't think of a ton off the top of my head, but, I mean, like, and that's not to take away from the people who were nominated on this list, but, I mean, there are plenty of Canadians out there.
Well, yeah, I can't think of any that aren't on the list that should be. But then I don't really think of it. Like, there's a lot who left us a long time ago, so do you still consider them Canadian?
Well, aren't they?
Okay.
Well, it depends. Like, if they gave up their citizenship, no. But if they still have dual citizenship, sure. I mean, I don't know how they're
deciding. I was just looking at another story, and this group, this ACISELA, is a privately funded nonprofit organization for the promotion of Canadian entertainment and sports talent in the U.S. It has lined up as ambassadors actors Emily Hampshire, Suzanne Clement, Kathleen Robertson, Jonathan Kelt, Jesselyn Gilsig, Benjamin Arthur, Yan England, and LA Galaxy player Rob Friend. Now, aren't three of those people nominated?
Yeah.
And they're also ambassadors of this group, who so, currently number more than 100. This is very interesting.
Yeah, so it looks it's open to acting and directing talent belonging to the trade unions, DGA, DGC, UDA, SAG-AFTRA, and ACTRA, as well as Canadian Olympians and athletes who compete for sports franchises. Why does this just sound like it's a couple of talent agencies or sports agents that got together and decided to promote their own people?
Yeah.
Like, it almost seems like an in-house kind of thing.
Yeah, it does. You know, there's a quote here from Evelyn Morisseau, who says that the British have the BAFTA LA events and were well represented at the Emmys. With the Golden Maple Awards, we'll be reminding Tinseltown that Canada has just as strong contenders as the rest of the world.
No, they're reminding people that we can't get the Emmys, so we had to come up with our own award show.
Yeah, that's what it comes off like, because you have Tatiana Maslany getting the Emmy nomination, and I guess, is she the only... No, because Michael J. Fox has been nominated and won before. We have a history of Canadians winning Emmys, don't we?
See, how,
or being,
how,
you know,
so how isn't Tatiana Maslany on this list?
Yeah, that's a very good question.
That is a good question.
That is the big missing one that I can
right?
think of. Well, but I didn't.
Because, I mean, it's shown in the U.S.,
it is a missing one. You're right. There's something weird about these nominations.
I'm calling shenanigans.
These are the Canadians who couldn't get Emmy nominations, so we're going to nominate them.
Mm. I'm calling shenanigans on this entire thing.
But, I mean, yeah.
Now, don't get me wrong. If any of these nominees wish to donate to our Patreon, I will recall the shenanigans, but for now.
You know what? I'm saying this. I love a lot of these people. I mean, yeah. Carolyn Devernas, I really like her. Mm-hmm.
Oh my God, Wonder Falls was one of my favorite shows.
Exactly.
Yes.
I like a lot of these people. And I think they're very talented actors. I just think these awards are not doing them any favors.
Right. Oh, well, the Golden Maple Awards will be announced on July 1st, I suppose, at a venue to be announced.
I hope they're televised.
Maybe on Slice. anyway, that takes us to our last link of the week. Hardly a think piece, but an interesting question nonetheless. So it's a new poll that's up on the TVA website, and... Greg, you've done your research here, my friend.
Well, you know, we have these diehard fans who usually give Diane a harder time because she tends to be the one that does the polls, and they give her a hard time and say, well, what about these people and what about these people? So for this poll that I put together for who are your favorite Canadian TV cops, I went way back in time. So, you know, I've got everything from Rookie Blue to Durham County to Haven or Murdoch Mysteries to the Beachcombers. I've got Due South in there, Motive, North of 60. And then if you go way down near the bottom, and you've got you know, shows like Blue Murder and Shattered and The Bridge and The Border and Intelligence and Cracked. So
Frank bent over backwards to include everybody. And we still have so many comments and tweets saying, you forgot this person.
The question is,
Gary Pearson, God love him, he contacted me and let me know the two cops on Sunnyside weren't represented. So the two ladies are represented in the poll as well, and it's been
what about the two cops on Kids in the Hall?
Oh yeah,
somebody mentioned Officer Friendly from SCTV.
Right, and they also Audrey Parker from Haven. Now, unfortunately, she's an FBI agent, but that's why she wasn't listed in there. But it's been a spirited back and forth, and as of right now, Tuesday night. At 11:06 p.m. Eastern Time, Sam Swarick from Rookie Blue has 29% of the poll with 2,000 votes, and Davis Quinton from Corner Gas has 22% of the votes with 1,491. So they've been swapping actually back and forth over the last couple of days. So right now, though, Rookie Blue is triumphing.
Lauren Cardinal, who I believe plays that role, has he's been Facebooking.
He's been all over it. He's been all over it. It's been fantastic.
Yeah, so it's fun to do the polls sometimes when the shows themselves get involved or the actors themselves get involved.
Okay, so I'm surprised, and this is, I'm throwing a challenge out here. I'm surprised and I'm shocked that the Lost Girl contingent can't manage to muster up any votes for Dyson and Tamsin.
I feel exactly the same way as you, Anthony, and I'm also a little bit surprised with the Murdoch Mysteries fans, because Murdoch Mysteries fans, you know, they get right into it and jump in there. So, yeah, I'm surprised about Lost.
No, I didn't say surprised. I said disappointed.
Disappointed, okay.
Yes, I'm disappointed. I think that they've really let down the stars of the shows. And, you know, we already know that, you know, it's coming up on, the last season of Lost Girl, and Dyson and Tamsin need your help.
Cancellation is on your heads. Yeah.
Dyson and Tamsin need your help. So, okay.
Maybe if they get out there and vote, they'll decide to bring them back for another season.
Oh, see, that could happen. Can you imagine if both of them ended up like number one and two? I would say the odds of a new season would be like skyrocketing from there.
I feel like you might be inciting the fans, Anthony.
Me? I don't incite anybody. Anyway. Time for another sip of bourbon.
So the voting is open until Friday, and then we will declare a winner. So stay tuned for that and vote if you haven't voted already.
Wow, interesting. So there we go. You know what? We ended up having a shorter, even after touching wood, we ended up with a shorter show than we thought we would, which is not a bad thing.
It's a good thing.
Because there are many times in the past that we've had longer shows than we've had. Longer shows than we planned, anyway.
Yes. Well, I mean, especially when it was just you and me, Anthony, we used to always say, oh, we only have a few links. We'll get out of here in no time. And then an hour and a half later, be like, oh, yeah, never mind.
So that's it for links. Like we say, the calendar, starting to look like the roadway between Iqaluit and Northern Ontario. Pretty barren.
Yeah.
It's got my new indie film from Gananoque to Iqaluit. Anyway, so there's nothing left. I can't believe there's nothing left to talk about. Next week, I'll promo next week's ABC's podcast with one of your favorites from Corner Gas.
Fred
Uwanuwik.
Yes, who plays Hank on Corner Gas. And one of the most, we talk a bunch about that show, one of the most beloved shows. And he talks about a new indie film that he's in as well, which actually looks pretty cool. So,
oh, right on.
Yeah, so it was a fun conversation. So hopefully you can, everyone can listen to that.
Did he have a cool beverage?
I'm trying to remember whether he had a cool beverage or not. I'm not 100% sure. We must have had a beverage of some sort. I can't remember the beverage off the top of my head, though. People will have to listen in.
Yeah, they'll have to listen in. Tease.
Spoiler alert. Spoiler alert.
Stay tuned next week for Fred's Beverage. Actually, you should open up a bar called Fred's Beverage.
Yeah.
Diane, where can people find you when you're not hanging out here trying to come up with links every 2 weeks?
I help run the TVA website at tv-eh.com, which is on Twitter at tv_eh. And I'm on Twitter at DEEKAYW. And where can you be found, Greg?
I can be found also doing all of the wonderful TVA stuff, like Diane just said, and also at my personal account at Greg_David on Twitter.
That's not Greg_David.
Just two.
Just
Greg two underscores.
_David.
I don't know about the third underscore. I don't know who you'll find if you go to that account, so just don't do it.
I've often wondered, wouldn't it be great to just call your Twitter handle underscore?
That would be good.
I wonder if that's taken.
Or if you could actually call yourself Greg_David, like spell it out.
Right, spell it out.
That wouldn't confuse people at all.
I could do the Greg_ and then spell out the word underscore and then another underscore.
Wow.
There is an @_.
Oh, I believe
it. Like just the symbol.
Yeah, that makes sense.
There you go.
What about you, Anthony? Where can we find you?
Find all of the other podcasts I do at anthonymarco.com. Find me on Twitter at Anthony Marco. And find me this July from the 24th to the 26th here in Hamilton at the Marshall McLuhan Podcaster Roundtables.
Ooh.
Oh.
Yes. It will be our second annual Podcaster Roundtables. If you're a podcaster, if you're a fan of podcasting, if you just like listening, whatever it is, and you have a weekend to kill and you're nearby the Hamilton area, this is what we've done. We've taken the entire concept of a conference. Now, if you've been to conferences before, you know that you go and you go to the workshops and stuff like that. Okay, sometimes the workshops are good. But when is the best part of a conference, Diane?
The bar afterwards?
Sure, the bar afterwards. Or in between when you have conversations with people that you know. So what we've done is we've created an entire roundtabling conference, which is only the discussions between at bars.
Wow.
That's all we do. We move from bar to bar to bar, and in around each bar have our own roundtable discussion about podcasting.
And then at the end, you do a big drunken podcast.
There will be much podcasting that happens. We have people coming in from the United States. We have people coming from across Canada. It should be a fun time. That's all I'm saying. If you want to come in, basically, it's a drunk fest. I'm not trying to hide that. But if you're a podcasting fan, you should enjoy it. Just saying.
Sounds good.
If you go to roundtabling.com, you can find all the details. That's right. It has its own domain.
Roundtabling. Wow.
Roundtabling.
I'm surprised that domain wasn't taken.
Oh, hey. I know how to scoop a domain. I don't know what that means.
That sounds dirty.
Sounds dirty and painful. I think that's it, guys. Hopefully 2 weeks from now, we will be out of the doldrums. I don't know. It doesn't look optimistic. That's all I'm saying right now.
It can be rookie blue all the time.
Watch your hockey playoffs, I guess. That's all I'm saying. Hey, my Calgary Flames are on to round two. Woohoo!
Right on.
That's all I'm saying.
Boo. Well, I shouldn't say boo. I was actually happy that the Canucks were out of it.
No,
fans get stupid and riot.
Yeah, really.
I'm more of an Oilers fan anyway.
No rioting after a round one loss, I suppose.
I didn't hear of any, no.
Somebody tipped a garbage can over.
In my alley.
That wraps up another episode for this week. And now back to your regularly scheduled programming.